I was hoping for like 10,000 views. In 24 hours, I get 1 million views. And then within a week, I had 50,000 followers and I had 5.3 million views on that video.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Milwaukee Uncut, produced in the heart of Walker's Point by Storymark Studios in partnership with On Milwaukee and presented by Nicolet Law, the Midwest law firm, and Central Standard Distillery. Today, our guest is Jay Matt, a very recognizable Milwaukee, and you may know him from his TikToks or Instagram reels about the city, but you may not know much about his backstory. Jay Matt shares his Milwaukee content to nearly 200,000 followers across Instagram and TikTok. He's had brand deals with companies like Red Bull, Culver's, and many more. He's also the founder of Hashtag Milwaukee and a social media coach. In this episode, we'll learn how Jay Matt broke through and started creating content for the city of Milwaukee and really grew his followings. And Jay Matt will give you a lot of hidden gem spots that you should check out around the city, from restaurants to drink spots to date night spots to other activities, a lot of which I had never heard of. And I feel like, as someone who produces a Milwaukee-based podcast and has been here for over a decade, I know the city pretty well. But Jay Matt gives us a lot of good spots, so it's a good one. Thanks again for tuning in. Let's dive in with Jay Matt.
In my mid-20s, there was an opportunity to move to Milwaukee formally, and I got an apartment on the east side, lived there for 6 to 7 years, and then eventually bought a condo in River West. So I think now it's very easy to say through and through, I'm very Milwaukee. This is my home. This is my chosen home, really, even though I grew up just outside of the city.
What brought you here? Said there was an opportunity to move here.
Yeah, I lived in Madison for a bit, working in radio, and there was a nonprofit looking for a social media specialist, and it was right around the lines of what I was looking to do. I wanted a role that was more centered around social media and content, as opposed to a fraction of the position, and it just made sense. I interviewed for it, got the job, came out here, and did that for a few years before I got offered a dream job with Kiss FM.
Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so Kiss FM, I was working part-time and the weekends, driving from Madison to Milwaukee to be a part of the Top 40 radio station, filling in overnights and early morning when Ryan Seacrest would be coming on for the AT40, American Top 40, yeah, I think that's what it is. It's been a while since I've been a part of that show, but it was very involved with going back and forth. And part of it was, you know, it'd be a lot nicer if I just lived in Milwaukee and didn't have to have the commute back and forth every weekend just to be on the air. So it allowed me to, that nonprofit allowed me to be closer so that I could continue to do it as a part-time job. But I think that dedication that I showed the operating manager and others for so long opened up an opportunity down the road. They created a position for me, digital program manager. It's a weird phrase because in radio, program manager is the thing. So they needed to have basically the same concept, but for the digital organic content. So they hired me for that. And then I was also full-time on the air Monday through Friday after the Riggs and Alley show. So it was like the station I grew up listening to, Top 40, so that had a special sentiment to it. And then I was going on after Allie, who doesn't love hearing this, but I grew up listening to Allie, and she was still on the station when I got on. So it was kind of like a surreal moment of like, I grew up listening to some of these voices, and now I'm part of these voices that maybe down the road kids will grow up and be like, oh, I heard J-Matt on Kiss FM back in the day.
And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And you got let go from Kiss, I believe.
Yeah, I was the first of about a third of the radio station. They owned, the company owned three stations. So I was let go. And then morning show producers were let go. Other people were let go. I think an afternoon guy was let go. There were people in behind the scene roles of like promotions and events, which made sense to let go. So yeah, it was a hard hit at the time because not only was it like losing a job, but it was like a job that I really didn't foresee myself ever like leaving on my own.
You just mentioned maybe kids saying, oh, I listened to J Matt growing up. It seems like that was a long-term plan for you.
Yeah.
You've bounced back nicely though. Was that a kind of a blessing looking back, even though it must've been completely crushing in the moment?
Yeah. it is interesting because the very first weekend after I got let go from Kiss FM, I remember seeing like early voting was a big thing. I don't even know if it was early voting necessarily, but it was just voting in general. And they had to adjust for COVID. So people were like in their cars waiting to vote. And the like line was around the block. And I remember thinking, oh, I should talk about this on the air on Monday. And then it dawned on me. I was like, I don't have anywhere to talk about this. So I wish I could say in that moment, I knew that I should flip this opportunity into social media content. It wasn't super obvious to me in the moment. I think I was just kind of still in shock of everything. I think it took a good 3 to 4 months until I got into a rhythm where local content was the answer in short form video content form.
So this overlaps a little bit. You're big on TikTok. Mm-hmm. How did you get into it? I'm guessing that was during your time at KISS or maybe even before then. Can you talk about where you started there, how you ended up doing this short form Milwaukee content and how it really took off for you?
What a lot of people don't know is when I started TikTok, it was definitely not Milwaukee content. Cause like people will find you and just assume you always did it. I started figuring out TikTok because yes, I worked at the radio station and that's where our Gen Z target audience was. So I had to figure out what TikTok was. How do you actually use it? How do you make good content on it? And figuring all that out, like how do I get their attention? So I saw content that was being made by others who were not as confident, whereas I was on the air on social media. My face was on social media all the time, so I was already used to it. Puzzle content was the thing because you had a lot of Gen Zers who would probably have been in middle school at the time or high school, and there was like, oh, here's a brain teaser. How do you figure it out? But all they were showing was the person's hand and speaking off camera. And I was like, well, what if I was on camera? What if I spoke on camera? And at the time, you could only do 15-second videos. So I was like, how do I use my face? How do I show the puzzle and write in reverse and backwards and upside down? All these sort of things. I figured out all of it. And through puzzle content, I got 20,000 followers. So I figured it out. I cracked the code. But for me, it got annoying because I didn't really care about the notifications and the content. I was mostly just trying to figure out how the platform worked. And so I started trying to shift it as it was, which is pretty hard to go from puzzle content to what I now do and didn't know it at the time, City of Milwaukee content. It took me a good year, mixture of before pandemic and post pandemic, or I guess during pandemic, to figure out the niche of City of Milwaukee content.
What was your first City of Milwaukee video where it struck a chord with you?
So I wish I also could say that first video was super obvious when it hit. It was a very lucky situation where I was unemployed and had supportive community around me of friends, and one had a boat and we went on the Milwaukee River. I knew of the pirate barge.
This is Ian Abston.
It is Ian.
We love giving Ian shout outs on this show. Ian, what a great Milwaukee citizen he is.
He is great. He, I knew of the pirate barge and he introduced me as the TikToker, which was much better than the unemployed guy during the pandemic. So I appreciated being introduced as that. And at the time, like 20, 25,000 followers was a decent deal, but it wasn't City of Milwaukee content. And I remember him saying, oh, where do we want to go? And I was like, well, what about the pirate barge? I knew at the time that it was up for sale and it was going to be sold in like a week. So theoretically, last opportunity to go. Water levels were pretty high. We had to go under the bridge. And somebody, I think it might have been Ian, might have been someone else on the boat, said, oh, this would make a great TikTok. And I was like, you're right. And I handed my phone off to somebody sitting in the back. And so we had a perfect shot of me and this other guy helping guide the boat underneath the bridge, which was alone worthy of views. And then I used phrasing that was unusual, theoretically. I said centimeters instead of inches. And so you had a bunch of the people like, this is America. We use inches here, not centimeters. I was like, heard. Trying to exaggerate the minuscule amount of clearance that we had. And then, of course, we show the pirate barge, and people are like, oh, this is really cool. off camera, I had, of course, gone on and explored it. So in the video, I was saying, oh, if you blow this video up, we'll go on the pirate barge and show you what it looks like. I already shot the content. Who cares? So I was hoping for like 10,000 views. In 24 hours, I got 1 million views. And then within a week, I had 50,000 followers, and I had 5.3 million views on that video within a week.
What was that like? Were you just hitting refresh, and it just didn't slow down?
I think I posted it, and then, like, it was so early. I hadn't had a video.
You just wake up, and you're like, holy shit.
Well, with the puzzle content, I was getting some videos with 1 million views. So I was already used to that, but this was truly something different that I didn't really anticipate how it could function and get viewed. So I didn't really pay attention to it till the next day and thought I was going to see 10,000 views and it was 1 million. I was like, what? How did this happen? And this is where I say, I wish I knew that it was because of Milwaukee, because I was like, I guess I could play on like the history of the pirate barge. And then I could play on Roaring Dan and I was not the direction I needed to go, but it wasn't obvious to me. Like, looking back, it's obvious.
Were you just throwing out pirate videos after that?
It was rough. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to keep this going. And then I remembered.
Yeah, Milwaukee is not a pirate hotbed.
I know, but I didn't think it was because of Milwaukee. I thought it was because of the uniqueness of the situation. And I was like, how do I continue this? And then I noticed some people in the comments kind of saying, I used to live in Milwaukee. I had no idea this was a thing. Or I used to party on the pirate barge back in the day. So then I could start seeing the community that was forming in the comments and able to test to see if it was Milwaukee. And I think the first video I did was 5 beer gardens in the city of Milwaukee. And that blew up. And I was like, all right, well, what about 5 free attractions in the city of Milwaukee? That blew up. I was like, it's local content. Got it.
And that was in 2020.
Yeah.
And then you were at an agency a little bit. You went off on your own. How's that going? What are you up to right now?
I'm formally self-employed as of mid-November of 2023. So it's been nearly 5-6 months of self-employment, and it's been great. I've got monthly retainer clients that I help with social media coaching and help like improve their presence, and it's great for like thought leaders or entertainers that just want to be doing better on social media. And I work with some nonprofits to help them do better on social media. My whole goal is to work with you for like 6 months and then give you those tools that you need so that you can continue on your own. I don't want to necessarily have to do this with you all the time. I want to give you the skill set that you don't have, because like, where do you get the skill set? I've kind of figured out a good skill set with social media for 15 years. So I can offload that in a way that's easy to consume and replicate, and you can continue to create your content and your presence on your own.
Love it. You've gotten a lot of brand deals. When did those start? So bridging between, okay, you do the pirate barge video, you're doing some beer gardens, some other Milwaukee content. This is in 2020. When did you get, do you remember what your first brand deal was and what that was like to have a brand actually reach out to you and want to pay you to do stuff?
The first one was, unfortunately, a restaurant that is no longer in business, but it was near the airport, and they just kind of reached out and said, oh, we would love to be featured on your page. So it was the first time to explore it, but the first like major brand was probably like the second or third thing after that, which was Red Bull. They reached out to me and they're like, we're doing this thing called Flugtag where we're going to throw these flying contraptions off of a platform that's 30 to 40 feet up in the air into Lake Michigan. We want you to be a part of this event. And I was like, yes, please. I am very intrigued by this. So that was still I think back and I'm like, wow, that really got the ball rolling on what has become a really fun self-employment opportunity.
Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke. Thank you for tuning in to Milwaukee Uncut. Please take a second to subscribe if you have not already, and maybe even write a review. That helps support the show, and we've got a lot of great Milwaukee episodes coming up. Also, just wanted to give a thank you to our sponsors, our friends at Nicolet Law, the Midwest's law firm, and Central Standard Distillery. Also, if you have not checked out Central Standard's Craft House right outside the Third Ward, make sure to do so. Great food, drinks, really nice rooftop when the weather's nice, which I'm sure it'll get nice out soon. It kind of has to, so make sure to check out the Craft House. All right, back to today's episode with J-Matt. let's get into some Milwaukee-related questions. You are a Milwaukee expert. A lot of listeners want to know where to go, where the cool spots are, maybe where some hidden gems are. So we'll rattle off some spots, or I'll ask you some questions. These don't necessarily have to be the best spots in the city, but whatever comes to mind or places that J. Matt enjoys, or maybe people can find you hanging out at. First one, hidden gem food spot or spots.
So I've been doing spicy food lately. I did a series, I think I'm on the seventh video, where I go into the restaurant and I say, give me the spiciest thing on the menu. And then I get those looks of like, are you sure, white boy? And I was like, yes, I really would. And I have to tell them literally that I want them to make me cry. And that seems to be the magic phrase that they're like, all right, sold. We'll make you cry. And one of the places that hit me hard was this place called Pho 414. And the reason why I love that this is a hidden gem is the fact that it's in Hmongtown, on the northwest-ish side of town, Appleton and Hampton, don't quote me. But I know it's off of Appleton. So that is essentially like a little food court within a grocery store or a market. And they have literally fire in the form of heat that they can give you for food. And they got mild, totally. The guy that gave me the hottest option felt real bad because he could tell I was struggling, which he nailed it. He got exactly what I asked for.
Got good views too, didn't it?
It did pretty well. But he felt so bad. He's like, here's a number one. I want you to take that home. And I was like, I didn't ask for that, but I will certainly eat it. Thank you. And I could tell the difference between the one and what I got was definitely way different.
So for people who don't want to cry,
you can still enjoy it.
It's still a good spot.
It's still a spot to enjoy.
What about cocktail spots? Where are you going?
So another video that I made recently was of a hidden gem cocktail spot, and it's called Edith. And if you don't know it exists, it's very easy to pass right by because they don't have like a signage that's very showy. They've got Edith on the door and they've got a sandwich sign out on the sidewalk. And if you're not walking by or not really looking for it, it's easy to not notice. It's maybe two blocks away from 3rd Street Market Hall. And it is a craft cocktail bar. Typically, they say their clientele, at least when I went there several months ago, was people that were coming for a show, looking for a place to drink before the show, and then they would go. So I got there at like 10:30 and it was empty. But that's because their clientele was going before shows. And at the time that I went, they were still relatively new and people hadn't heard of it yet. I think on Friday nights, they do jazz night. So they're certainly increasing in the popularity, and that video did pretty well. So I hope that they're doing pretty well too.
Any favorite date spot?
So if you want to be bougie and show off, there's a date spot that I discovered recently, and it is like one of those, like, cocktails are like $25 and it's a little expensive, so you just have to know that going in.
We'll do a bougie one and a non-bougie
okay,
one.
Cool.
How does that sound?
Yeah. Solomon's at the Trade Hotel.
It's
they
at
have
the Trade.
Three bars at the Trade Hotel that's next to Pfizer Forum.
Yeah.
And they have Il Cervo on the roof. They've got, I forget, the first floor bar.
Is it craft or something? It's some basic
something
name.
Like that.
We'll think of it when we get off. That's a good
spot,
though.
That one works, too. And I think that one everyone knows of because as you're walking by, you see it. And then when you're like, oh, I heard they got a rooftop bar, so you know that one. Solomon's is on the second floor. It's easy to miss. And if you're not, like, going to find this third bar, I literally went to find it. I go around the stairs, go up, and I see where it is, but, like, still don't see the bar until you come around the corner and you see Solomon's, and you're like, well, this is really tucked away and a pretty cool spot. Especially if, like, they have the lights dim in there when you're going up a little bit later. It's a nice little spot. They got a little fireplace in there. So if you're trying to be bougie and show off, Solomon's at the Trade.
Is it just up the stairs from the first floor?
Yeah. You can take the elevator.
I have been up there before.
It's,
do they have food there, too?
Nice.
Or is it just drinks?
I don't remember
good
seeing
good drink
food
spot, for sure.
But Il Cervo upstairs has food, and that, I would debatably say, is another date spot worth checking out. But one that would be not bougie necessarily would be Santino's Little Italy.
That's a great spot.
It's good if you want to get pizza. That's an easy date option. It's kind of like a throwback in the vibe that they have. You can get a cute little two-person table tucked away, dim lighting. You can still get that vibe. And I think they have some outdoor seating if it's the weather's nice. So you've got some options there. And then if you are with somebody that doesn't know that area very well, after, if like the date's going well, you need a second location, you take them to Barnacle Buds. And I know it's the fish dock or whatever, but like they have good cocktails.
This is the non-bougie date.
This is the non-bougie date.
It's a cool spot.
And it's a cool spot. It's got the outdoor patio that you don't really know of, and you don't find Barnacle Buds unless you know that it's there. You don't accidentally come upon it.
Another cool non-bougie iteration of Santino's, if you want to be even more non-bougie and bring your dog along, Enlightened Brewing. Next door, Bree and I will go there sometimes when we're with Oakley and pick up a pizza and take it to the brewery, and they've got some good beer over there.
That works too.
What about brunch? You're a brunch guy. See your brunch videos. Anywhere stand out or anywhere people need to try, may not be aware of?
Here's a good one. In the sense of hidden gems, it's not that it's truly a hidden place. It just, I think it hides in plain sight. Cafe at the Plaza.
That's a good one. Mm. And you're right. That doesn't really make any lists. Not a lot of people think of it. It's just like a classic brunch spot.
You can have the nice classic diner feel if you just want to go up to the counter and not wait for a table. You can get a table. Or if it's a nice day out, you can sit in the courtyard, which they have. And so you can sit outside, and you obviously can't see a courtyard from the street. It just looks like an apartment complex when you walk by it. And then you go in, and you're like, oh, it's got a restaurant in here, perfect for breakfast or brunch.
You just brought up a courtyard. What about a patio? Any patios that stand
well,
out to you?
I've got to plug my friend JC over at Pufferfish, who's got a tiki bar and a patio on the rooftop of Hotel Metro. So if you're looking for a different sort of vibe that's not necessarily the Kimpton Journeyman Outsider, which I know is a very popular rooftop, more centralized in downtown Milwaukee, Pufferfish is a good one. Bridgewater is another good one where it's a newer restaurant. I think it's like a year or two old.
It's a good restaurant.
It's good restaurant.
Really good
drinks.
Food. That's a good date spot too.
Good date spot. I would say that's in between bougie and affordable.
Yeah, if you want that upper mid tier.
Yeah. Nice casual. It's nice weather out. They have a very, I think their claim is the longest waterfront patio in the city. Something like
Could
that.
Be.
It's pretty long. I would have to take a tape measure.
So it's a Marcus Group restaurant.
Yeah. So that's a decent one to go to for sure.
Got to give a shout out to our friends at Central Standard too.
The Aviary. Yep. The rooftop bar there as well. That's a nice another
good summer spot.
Spot for sure.
What about some maybe under the radar small businesses?
So I think the place is called Happy Dough Lucky in Bayview. It is a mini donuts spot.
So I saw your video. Those look delicious.
Yeah, somebody said, oh, I hope you didn't eat every single one. I was like, if you see me take a bite, I'm not spitting it out. I ate one of every single option you saw. I didn't eat
how
the
many
rest
were
of them.
There?
At least a dozen. Maybe 13, 14, I don't know. I can't recall.
They're
just bite-sized.
Okay, that's not too bad.
That's not bad at all. But they all had, like, interesting garnishes. Garnish, fun word to use on a mini donut, but I don't have a better word for it. There was, like, a mud cup, or there was a gummy worm on one. There was, I think there was a puppy chow one. Then there was, like, a blueberry one, a Nerds one. There were just so many different versions. I even asked them, I was like, can you make a spicy mini donut? And they can, but they just didn't have it available at that time. Which I would go back for a spicy mini donut just to see what that's like. And they have your classic, the powdered sugar, the cinnamon sugar, and the mix. But what's interesting about this location beyond food is it's also an arcade. So they have a lot of pinball machines. They have a lot of old school arcade games. So while you're waiting for your donuts to come out, you can play some video games. It gives you a modified version of Up Down, because if you've gone in there, they've got the pin machines and it's two floors of gaming. It's not nearly as many games, but it's enough that you would have variety and you wouldn't get bored in the time that it takes for you to get
your. It's kind of like a donuts. Newer Landmark on the Lanes arcade type. That was a little smaller.
A little
maybe.
Bit update. Yeah, it doesn't have like Dave and Buster's style games of like the flashy and get right. the tokens, but it has.
It's old school. It's right in Bayview.
It's in Bayview. Yep.
Nice. What about favorite activity? Just Milwaukee activities in general.
RSVR. If you've heard of that.
Never heard of it. Enlighten me.
Ooh. This place is in Bayview as well. It's virtual reality. So they have, I think, 4 stations, maybe less. But it's you can rent out a station for your group, and you get it for like an hour or so. And you get a VR headset, and you play the game, and then you switch off with people on your team or in your group. They can do adult parties where, you know, there's some beverages that you can enjoy, and it's kid-friendly, too. So not having the adult beverages. But I think they also have a back patio area, too. They've expanded a bit, so that's a fun spot. And then another one also in Bayview. I don't know what's going on in Bayview, but they got a lot of activities. Bustin' Stuff.
What's that?
You've not heard of Bustin' Stuff. Bustin' Stuff is
like
a rave room.
Why I have you on the podcast, Jay Matt, to tell me and everyone else in the city what's going on.
I thought I was going to give something. You're like, oh, I know that. That's a fun spot.
As someone who hosts a Milwaukee podcast, I probably should know some of the things you're rattling off, which I have.
Totally. Bustin' Stuff is like a rage room, and they take donations. So if you have computer screens and keyboards and pottery or whatever that you don't know where to get rid of them necessarily, you donate it to him, and then he'll put you in a rage room, and you can smash it with a baseball bat or a 9-iron or whatever else you want. And they have a separate room where, and I haven't done this experience, but I'm intrigued by it. It's something paint-oriented. So like you, I don't know how to describe it, but I know you leave with a product through which you've made art, I guess. But it's very messy. Give you a suit, by the way. So you'll be in a suit.
You can be safe.
Whether you're doing the art version or the non-art version, they give you protective gear, of course, so that you can be as safe as possible.
Any closing message to the city of Milwaukee?
I think Milwaukee's one of those cities that when you visit Milwaukee, you realize what everyone's talking about. You don't really understand it until you come and visit. So if you've never been to Milwaukee, definitely visit. And it's easy to see the community, the culture that is in the city just from a short weekend. And then shortly after, you're kind of thinking, I kind of want to move here. Where should I move? And then got to figure that out.
Agree. Loved having you on. Thanks for coming down today. Good seeing you.
You too.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to Milwaukee Uncut. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, write a review, share with your friends. That helps the show. Also, if you want to watch the video version of this interview or any of the clips from this episode, we've been getting a lot of traction on Instagram and YouTube recently, so make sure to go check out those platforms. They are linked in the show notes as well. And just a reminder, Milwaukee Uncut is produced by Storymark Studios right in the heart of Walker's Point, where I'm sitting right now, in partnership with On Milwaukee, and presented by Nicolet Law and Central Standard Distillery.